If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
God did not acquire his power. It belongs to him inherently. God is the only being described by the word Almighty in Scripture, and it's used of Him 57 times. This morning, we're going to look at the life of a man who depended upon the power of God, a man named Joshua. When we look at Joshua's life, we see the power of God at work. And I believe this morning, as we strengthen our connection with the Almighty God, we ourselves will experience more and more of the power of God in our lives. How many want the power of God in greater measure in your life this morning? Amen. How many need the power of God in greater measure than ever before this morning? Amen. This morning, I want to answer the question in the next few minutes. What happens when we are connected to God as our power source? Funny story. My wife said yesterday that the one TV won't go on. And I just grabbed the remote. I said to myself, she's doing something wrong. And she wasn't. I grabbed the remote and hit the power button. It didn't come on. I said, well, the remotes must have gotten switched. Got the one for the other TV. Pushed the power button up and came on. Then I looked a little closer. And I'm not a genius, but even I know things like televisions work much better when they're connected to power. How many have discovered that? The power plug had fallen out of the back of the TV. And I reached down and plugged it in, and guess what? The TV came on. Who knew? So, things happen when we're connected to the power source. And there may be many of us here this morning, and by the way, I apologize to my wife for thinking she did something wrong, because it wasn't her. Okay. My slate is clean. All right? Got to put that disclaimer in there. Many of us wonder why things aren't happening in our lives. Why we're dealing with the same old thing, the same old habits. Why we're not seeing things happen in our lives, and things that we're praying for don't seem to be coming to pass. And we wonder, why do I just feel like I'm moving in place and never moving forward? And for every step forward, sometimes it seems like two steps back, and we just can't seem to get ahead. We wonder, we read about miracles happening for other people. Why don't they happen in my life? We read about chains being broken in people's lives. Why aren't they being broken in my life? And why aren't things moving forward? And why isn't there a freedom? And I believe we have to ask ourselves, how strong is the connection to our power source today? How strong is the connection to our power source? How much are we tapping in to the power, the limitless, infinite power of Almighty God versus how much we are depending upon ourselves? Sometimes we need to kind of take an inward look. You with me? I've had times in my life, I thought I was depending on the power of God. I thought I was relying on Him. I thought my power, my connection to His infinite power source was strong. And then I had to take an honest look at some things in my life and realize, no, Tim, you're leaning on your own strength and your own power more than you realize. It's going to take being that honest with ourselves. Amen, church? So let's answer the question, what happens when we are connected to God as our power source? The first thing that happens is we see God's power demonstrated. We see God's power demonstrated. Consider the demonstrations of God's power witnessed by Joshua as Moses' assistant. Joshua was the apprentice, was the assistant, was the right-hand man of Moses, the great deliverer who led the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt and through the wilderness and on the verge of entering the promised land. Joshua was his assistant all during that time. Joshua, during that time, saw Moses' rod turn to a serpent and then turn back again when Moses picked it up by the tail. Joshua saw Moses' hand turn leprous when he put it in his cloak and then turn back when he took it out of his cloak again, or put it back in and took it out. Joshua witnessed the series of plagues unleashed upon the people of Egypt when they held Israel captive, blood in the rivers, frogs, lice, flies, diseases on livestock, boils, hail, locusts, total darkness, and the death of the Egyptians' firstborn, which culminated in Pharaoh releasing the Israelites from captivity. And then, as Pharaoh's army pursued Israel, Joshua saw Moses stretch his hand over the Red Sea, and the sea parted so Israel could walk across. He then saw the path through the waters close and drown the entire Egyptian army that tried to follow them through the sea. And when Moses passed from the scene and Joshua ascended to leadership, he was ready because he had seen demonstrations of the power of God. I am so thankful this morning. I realize this is not everyone's heritage, but I'm very grateful that I grew up in a Pentecostal church, a church that believed in the full gospel, a church that believed in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And as a young child, I was accustomed to seeing the hand of God at work in our church and in the people's lives whom I was acquainted with. I saw the power of God at work in my own family. In my own life, when I was too young to realize, I was an infant and I had an infection that at that time had taken the lives of more than 50-some babies in Texas. My dad, who was a man of faith, prayed, and my mom prayed, and my parents of faith prayed, and God healed me and touched me. I've seen God do miracles in my family. I've seen God do miracles in my loved ones. God has done miracles in this church. God has done miracles for my wife. God has done miracles for others. I've mentioned many of them to you over the years. What I'm concerned about, church, hear me this morning, is for our young people, the next generation, and even many of the millennials and Generation X, I'm concerned that many of them have not seen a demonstration of the power of God. And that's concerning to me, and it should be concerning to you. Many of you who are here, you hear about me talking about miracles and others, about things that God has done, and you read the miracles in the scriptures. But if you were to be honest today, you'd say, I've never seen God do miracles. I've never seen God demonstrate his power in a miraculous way. What happens is over time, when that's the case, younger generations grow up and they question the reality of God doing miraculous things. They question what they hear about God moving in power by his Holy Spirit. The church, as your pastor, one of the things I am most desirous of, and we've seen God do miracles, as I've said. We've seen God do awesome things. But I believe that God spoke to me a number of years ago and in essence said to me that what we've seen in the past pales in comparison to what God wants to do here. God wants to heal sick bodies. God wants to see people get up out of wheelchairs. God wants to deliver people from alcohol and drug and pornography addictions. God wants to reunite marriages. God wants to do powerful things. And church, I believe we need to pray and seek God, and especially as we focus on the Holy Spirit and move toward this Holy Spirit conference. Church, I ask you to pray with me for fresh demonstrations of the power of God. I ask you to pray with me for God to move so that every generation that comes in this room, that comes in these four walls, will see the power of God unleashed and will see God do mighty miracles and will be able to testify. I no longer have to focus just upon what's recorded in Scripture. I no longer have to just recount the miracles told to me by my parents or my grandparents, but I, with my own two eyes, have seen the mighty power of God. I've seen a demonstration of his power and what he can do. Hallelujah. That needs to be the experience of every Pentecostal believer today. Will you pray with me? Will you seek God with me and say, Lord, show us your power. Show us your power. Give us a demonstration of your mighty Holy Ghost power in this place and in my life and in my family and within the lives of all those with whom I come in contact. Oh, Lord, show us your power. Show us your glory. Hallelujah. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Moses, the God of Joshua, the God of your ancestors, the God of your parents and your grandparents, the God of those whom you've heard tell great stories, is your God today. And he wants to move mountains on your behalf. He wants to do miracles on your behalf. He wants to touch your family in a powerful way. He wants to perform miracles for you. May we strengthen our connection to God as our power source. May we spend time in his presence. May we draw close to him. May we have hearts that are open and say, Holy Spirit, come and move afresh in my life, in my family, in my church, in my home, in my neighborhood. When we're connected to God as a power source, we can see God's power demonstrated. Amen? What's the second thing that happens when we're connected to God as a power source? It's this, that we're sustained by God's power daily. We are sustained by God's power daily. I've said this many, many times, but we all need to realize it. It is the power of God that helps us get through a day. Come on, church. You say, well, what about the world? I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm being serious today. I have no idea how those who aren't connected to God, who don't know God, I have no idea how they get through a day. Because if I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, if I didn't know that my Heavenly Father had my back, I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. I wouldn't want to face one thing. I wouldn't want to do one thing. How many are with me in that? We're sustained by God's power daily. Joshua, along with the rest of the nation of Israel, experienced this aspect of God's power in two very important ways during their journey through the wilderness. Number one, they were sustained by God's provision. It's been estimated that 3 to 4 million Israelites left Egypt and journeyed through the wilderness for 40 years. Listen to this. This is fascinating. One day's bread for that multitude, that many people, would fill at least 10 modern freight trains. One day's bread. Now they traveled for 40 years. The water supply needed would be almost incalculable. But God provided manna and then later quail for them to eat. God caused a rock to gush forth enough water for the entire nation. He kept their clothes from wearing out for 40 years. Can you imagine that? He gave them divine health and even healed them from the bites of poisonous serpents. God provided for them everything they needed. Let me tell you, if God will provide for that many people for 40 years while they wandered in a wilderness, he's capable of providing for you and me. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. Amen? And when we're connected to him as our power source, he is going to supply everything that we need. Is there something you're lacking today? Our finances? Do you not know how you're going to make ends meet? How you're going to you have more bill left than money at the end of the month? God is your source. God is God's power is that which supplies everything you need. We're sustained by God's power. God provides everything you need. Again, sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that we have provided for ourselves. Well, I've worked, haven't I? I put in a lot of hours to take care of myself and my family. Yes, and you should. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. I don't know about you. That's incentive for me to work. I know you're with me. But I've said this before. It's God who gives you the strength to work. It's God who gives you the mental, the capacity to do your job. It's God who gives you the very breath of life. You know this. God forbid some illness comes, something lays you flat on your back. You're going to see how dependent you are. So everything comes from God. God provides everything we need. If there's something lacking in your life, whether it's material, whether it's something else in your life, check your connection to the power source. check your connection. God sustains us through provision, but also God sustained Israel and sustains us through protection. When the Amalekites attacked Israel, Joshua was chosen to lead the Israelites who were untrained in war. He led them into battle using the swords of the Egyptians that had washed up on the banks of the Red Sea. They had been in captivity for about 430 years. They had become slaves in Egypt. They weren't trained warriors. They weren't trained military personnel. They were ordinary people using second-hand equipment that had washed up from the dead Egyptians when they were drowned in the Red Sea. But the scripture says, Joshua, in Exodus 17, 13, Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And God began to lead Israel through that wilderness and eventually into the promised land, and God protected them. They weren't trained soldiers. They were using leftover equipment. Every bit of conventional wisdom says they should have been destroyed by their enemies. They were protected by the hand of Almighty God. When we're connected to God as a power source, God will sustain us. If you're here today, and you're going through a trial, and you're going through a difficulty, and you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm going to reach the end of my rope. I don't know how I can face another day. I don't know how I can take one more step. I don't know how I can go any further. Let me tell you, when you reach the end of your rope, it's a cliche, but you've heard it said, and hold on, hallelujah. Check your connection to the power source. Lean on Him this morning. Scripture says, cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Church, can I tell you? Whatever you're going through, He cares for you. In the valley that you find yourself in right now, He is not unaware. He is aware of what you're suffering. He is aware of what you're going through. And He is ever present. The scripture says in the Psalms, God is an ever present help in time of trouble. How do you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. God is with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, when you find yourself in the waters and they're about to overwhelm you, He said, I will be with you. He said, when you find yourself in the midst of the fire and you feel like it's going to destroy you, I will be with you in the fiery flames, and they will not destroy you. Hallelujah. He said, I will sustain you. I will provide for you what you need. I will protect you from those who would harm you. I will be your source. I will be your strength. I will be everything you need. Hallelujah. And if you feel like something's lacking in your life, lean on Him. Press into Him. Strengthen that connection to Him. And He will supply everything you need. Hallelujah. Because God is a faithful God. God is a loving God. God is a compassionate God. And He will be your strength. Hallelujah. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Hallelujah. God is your sustainer. God is your source. God is the one who provides. God is the one who protects you. A lot of times we try and protect ourselves and we try and defend ourselves. We get into trouble. You ever do that? Or am I the only one? And I've had times, you know, there are times, you know, when people are misinformed, you need to kind of, you know, clear the record and straighten things out and provide information. But you know what? I've found times when I've been attacked, And when people have said something against me, and I, you know, in my so-called righteous indignation, I'm just going to straighten them out, and I'm just going to, you know, kind of tell them what's what, and I'm going to defend myself. You know how much good most of the time that does? Absolutely none. I mean, you know what I'm talking about this morning? There are times you can't defend yourself. There are times you can't convince people who have a certain notion about things. You can't convince them that things are otherwise. And it's taken a long time. I'm not perfect at it yet, but I am learning. I've learned a little bit that there are times when I just have to say, Almighty God, you be my defender. Almighty God, you know what's true. You know my heart. Come on, church. Almighty God, you'd be my defender. Almighty God, you be my protector. Almighty God, I'm going to let you do the talking for me. I'm going to let you have my back. Because when I try and fix things, sometimes I just make it worse. But Holy Spirit, you've got me. And you're going to help me. You're going to protect me. We're sustained by God's power. During the days of communism in the former Soviet Union, the peasant farmers often enjoyed telling a humorous story lightened their dreary lives. According to the story, a government official came to a farmer and inquired about the year's potato crop. Oh, the farmer said, it was wonderful. It was so big, it reached up to the very foot of God. The communist official scowled, Comrade, this is a communist state and we are atheists. You must not forget, there is no God. The farmer grinned and said, that's my point. No God, no potatoes. Hallelujah. Amen. That's true, isn't it, church? No God, no potatoes. And no anything else that we need. He is our source. He is our provider. Hallelujah. And He will sustain us. You may be here and you don't know how you're going to make it to another day. But I can tell you how. It's through the power of Almighty God. Through His Holy Spirit. He is your source. He's going to take you through the next day and every day after that if you will lean on Him and trust in Him as your power source. When we're connected to God as our power source, we see God's power demonstrated and we're sustained by God's power daily. And thirdly this morning, when we're connected to Him as our power source, we can stand in God's power daringly. We can stand in God's power daringly. God chose Joshua to do great things. I believe God chooses all of us to do great things. But God chose Joshua particularly to do great things. Now, his appointment, in his time of appointment, God clearly demonstrated that Joshua was to do great things. First of all, he proved this to Joshua himself. The Lord said, Moses said to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. After that, Moses, presumably in the sight of all Israel, laid his hands on Joshua to pass the mantle of authority to him. Then, after Moses had died, God himself said to Joshua, this is one of my favorite portions of Scripture, in Joshua 1, 2, and 3, God himself said to Moses, Moses, my servant is dead. Talk about bluntness. God was blunt. Moses had died. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. I just love that. Don't you love that? Moses, the great deliverer, the great one whom God raised up to deliver Israel from Egypt, to lead them through the wilderness. Moses was dead. Oh, but I love this church. Moses may have been dead, but the God of Moses was very much alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, Moses may be dead, but I have put my spirit in you, Joshua, and I'm going to use you to lead the people of Israel. And he said, every place you set your foot, I'm going to give to you. What do you do when God says, every place you set your foot, I'm going to give to you? I'll tell you what I do. I start walking. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to put out some footsteps. Oh, I'm going to set a record on my Apple Watch for how many steps I get. Because every place I step, God's going to give me. Hallelujah. Talk about stepping out daringly. God proved this to the Israelites. He had the Israelites lead Joshua the Israelites through the Jordan River just as Moses led them through the Red Sea. I don't think that's by accident. You see, they had to realize that in the same way that God put His Spirit in Moses and and used Moses to lead God's people, God was now putting that same mantle of leadership on Joshua. How did God demonstrate that to the Israelites? Just as God used Moses to lead Israel through the Red Sea, God used Joshua to lead them across the Jordan River. And the scripture says in Joshua 4, 13 and 14, that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Because the mantle of leadership was on Joshua, and he stepped out. But God also demonstrated this not only to Joshua and the Israelites, but to Israel's enemies. Listen to what it says in Joshua 5, verse 1. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, in other words, in the land of Canaan, they crossed the Jordan into Canaan, the promised land. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Isn't that awesome? Their knees started knocking. They began to shake because they heard how God used Joshua as he stepped out daringly to lead the people of Israel. And then look at the actions that Joshua took, empowered by Almighty God. He led the Israelites in the conquest of the promised land, one battle at a time. Each battle was different, but Joshua obeyed God, his power source. He stood in God's power and led daring exploits for God. Hallelujah. And as Joshua and the people of Israel obeyed God, they won one battle after another. And they came to the mighty walled city of Jericho. You know the story of Joshua 6. Impregnable, impenetrable walls. Walls 12 feet thick. Impossible. But God gave Joshua and the Israelites the formula. And they marched around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days, singing praises to the Lord. Then the seventh day, they went around seven times with a mighty shout, with the blowing of the trumpets. They shouted to God, and those walls tumbled inward. Hallelujah. And the people of God came in, and they took that city, and they won a mighty victory. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because they were willing to step. They were willing to walk, and they stepped out boldly. They stepped out daringly. Church, the God of miracles wants to do great things. He wants to knock down today's walls of Jericho. He wants to knock down the walls of Jericho in your life, in our city. Hallelujah. In our church, in our community. Hallelujah. How many believe that? In our school system. Hallelujah. In our government. God wants to knock down Jericho walls today. And what it's going to take is people of God who are connected to the power source, who are obedient to Almighty God, who are willing to say, Lord, use me. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, wherever you tell me to go, whatever you tell me to say, whatever you want me to pray and believe you for, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be bold. To step out, I'm going to do great things for you. You see, too many of God's people are waiting for someone else to be raised up to do great things. The question I have for each of us today is, what if God wants to raise you up? What if God wants to make a Joshua out of you? What if God wants to speak something into your heart and tell you to be bold in the place where you work or in the community where you live, in the school system to which you're connected, wherever it might be? God is looking to raise up Joshuas. God is looking to raise up people who will say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, on nothing more firm and more secure than your word, nothing more sure than that, Lord, I'm going to do it. God may want to make a Joshua out of you today. I came across a video that I want to share with you. It's a few minutes long. Actually, it's a picture with mostly audio. But it's about a young lady named Karen Ruth Johnson. From way back in June of 1959, she wrote a paper about her philosophy of life. And the day after she wrote that paper, 2 weeks before her high school graduation, she was killed in a car accident. people came to Christ as a result of her paper. Some even went into full-time ministry. I want to share that with you now. Let's show that.
The year is June 5th, 1959. It was 2 weeks before her graduation. 17-year-old Karen Johnson completed her English homework assignment and handed it to the teacher. She was the firstborn of five children. So full of life, she was always excited and joyful. She brought warmth around those that knew her. On June 6th of 1959, just a day later, while joining her parents at a cabin in Palm Springs, California, she was sitting at the top of a Corvette. Her mother walks up. Knowing Karen often liked to wear her mother's clothes, shirts, and shoes, Karen shouted, "I like your skirt. I like your blouse. In fact, I like everything about you." After saying goodbye to her parents, Karen left with three friends back to Los Angeles, but she would never make it. Because that afternoon, while riding, they were hit and out by a drunk driver. 2 hours later, the father noticed his friend walking with two other guys up to him. "We have bad news," they said. Immediately, the father knew his other children were inside. The father says, "Is she gone?" "Yes." "Are you sure?" "Yes." "Before we do anything, there is something I need to do first." The father went in the middle of the floor and said, "Before we ask God why he took our Karen, let us thank him for the 17 years he let us have her. And now your journey will be meaningful." It's one thing to thank God in a moment of prosperity, but it's another to thank God in a moment of a nightmare. The next day after the tragic news became public, there was sadness and gloom in the air. But her parents didn't stop praying that somehow her death would be used to inspire others. Just a few hours later, Karen's friend went to Karen's house and said, "You should go get Karen's paper assignment." Since that day, her assignment has been translated in a dozen languages and sent to every continent. They labeled it a teenage triumph. The assignment she turned in went as follows. "My philosophy of life is based on the Holy Bible and God who wrote it. I know that he has a plan for my life, and through daily prayer and reading his word, I will be able to see it. As far as my life, work, or life partner, I am leaving it in his hands. And I am willing to do anything," he says. "I feel that this philosophy is very practical and can be applied to everyday life. Every decision can be taken to the Lord in prayer, and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior is something many cannot understand. Many search for a purpose and reason for life. I know that I am on this earth to have a fellowship with God and to win others to the saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. I know that after death, I will go to be with Him forever. Jesus Christ teaches love and respect for everyone through the New Testament, and we are not to judge anyone because He will on Judgment Day. In God's sight, no one person is worth more than another. Knowing and loving Jesus Christ personally makes me want to please Him and accomplish things for His glory. Paul says in the New Testament, whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. And for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. This philosophy contains all the 7 points given in your lecture on April 20. As I stated in the beginning, it is very practical to have someone to turn to for any decision or problem, small or large. What could be more optimistic than knowing that God has a purpose and plan for one's life and is willing to keep it in constant fellowship with anyone who will? To know I have accepted Jesus Christ's gift of salvation and will have eternal life in heaven is the most wonderful thing and brings me peace to my heart. God has the best for us, and if we let Him, He will improve our lives and solve our problems. God in His holy word teaches us to have love and burden for every person as Jesus Christ Himself. One of my main purposes in life is to share this experience I have had with Christ and to show them the peace and happiness that it brings. This is an important goal in itself, but more completely, my aim in life is to accomplish what the Lord has for me to do, which is certainly the most worthwhile goal in life. The closer I grow to Him, the more happiness I find, and the busier I am. He has things for me that the world can never offer. And I learned to accept more and more how fortunate I am.
The time for being timid is over. Listen, you all know the culture we live in. This world will do everything it can to browbeat us into silence, to marginalize our faith, and say, you Christians, you have your little service on Sunday morning, and you take your little time, and you feel good. But don't bring that stuff out into the public arena. Don't bother the rest of us with it. Church, that's not what God calls us to do. Amen. We're not to be obnoxious. We're not to be self-righteous. We're to be loving and humble. But we're to be bold. We're to be bold because we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. How's your connection this morning to your power source? When we're connected to our power source, we see God's power demonstrated. My desire is that we would see a demonstration of the power of God, not only in this church, but in our lives. Hallelujah. God is still able. Amen? When we're connected to God as our power source, we're sustained by God's power daily. He meets every need for provision, for protection, for everything we need. He is our source. If you feel like something's lacking in your life, lean on Him. Go to Him. See Him as your source. And when we're connected to God as our power source, we stand in God's power daringly. Hallelujah. As Ephesians says, when you've done all, stand. Hallelujah. Stand. And God's looking for people who will stand daringly, boldly for Him and say, Lord, whatever you want from me, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'm going to do it boldly